Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Retro, spotted or broken, sirens and screams. People, casters of torches, written with strings. Bone hills, crushing civilians, standing for peace. Rich sounds, when someone's in place for this ear. Greatest honor while the bar on bleeds. Yet there's no reason for the rage. Can you hear yourself? We can walk while the rest are babes, but we're wrong if we dare complain. You bow your necks, even if you can't see it now. You're more like us than you'll ever be them. You'll never be welcome, they're not your friends. Rampage will use you to their ends. You can't see it past the tone of your skin. Greatest honor while the bar on flames. Yet there's no reason for the rage. We can walk while the rest are maimed. But we're wrong if we dare complain. You fell your necks, even if you can't see it now. You're more like us than you'll ever be them. Greatest honor while the bar on flames. Yet there's no reason for the rage. We can walk while the rest are maimed. But we're wrong if we dare complain. Windows, spotted or broken, sirens and screams. People, cast and abducted, written with strings. Rich sounds, when someone's in place for this ear. Greatest honor while the bar on flames. Yet there's no reason for the rage. You fell your necks, even if you can't see it now. You're more like us than you'll ever be them. You'll never be welcome, they're not your friends. You can't see it past the tone of your skin. To eliminate ignorance will do you in.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 174 of Getting It Out Podcast. That was Sour Times with Duality. That's off of their album, The 11th Hour. It just came out May 14th. It's self-released, but I'm sure you can find it wherever you get your music these days. This band consists of two fellas who got together in 2018, and they blend a lot of influences. You could hear it there. Heavy metal, hardcore, it's all there. Again, that was Sour Times, Duality, from the album The 11th Hour, available now everywhere. What's happening on this episode? Well, this episode features an interview with Benjamin Charles and Kyle Baltus of Ligature Marks. Oh, you're not familiar with Ligature Marks? Well, neither was I until recently, and that's why we're doing this episode. These guys are deserving of all the attention, and we're going to give it to them on this episode of Getting It Out Podcast. But first, the best thrash band ever from New Jersey that exists right now, Hot Zone.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitches? It's the illustrious Hot Zone, back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out Podcast? I said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap first, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast. I said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it! Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies! Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in and out!
What's happening, ladies and gentlemen? I want to get down to it right away. I'm having a yard sale this weekend. Yeah, that's really exciting. Yard sales are crazy business. I hate the fucking people who show up at my house and want to argue about whether they have to pay 50 cents or 25 cents for my bullshit. They don't know that I'll give it to them for free. I don't want them to know that either because I do want their money. But I have no tolerance for haggling. All you have to do to get all my stuff for free is just start haggling. I'd be like, just please leave. Take everything. I don't want any of this. I don't want any of you being awkward. There's always weird yard sale people. Then they show up real early. Early birds, they call themselves. Get the fuck off my lawn. You're not. It's the posted times are the posted times. I don't know what the posted times are. I don't know what times you're supposed to be able to come to my yard sale. But I don't want you here. Not before a certain time. I need to get my bearings about me. I need to sit down. I need to get some like breakfast from McDonald's or something and then sit in the yard and basically try to hold off drinking until like 11. That's the thing about yard sale. Yard sale seems like an excuse to start drinking immediately. It should be. We should put something in my coffee. What do you put in coffee to drink? People are like, you put Baileys. Like, who the fuck has Baileys? What am I, 60? I don't keep that shit around my house. Maybe I do. I wonder if we have Bailey's upstairs somewhere or some kind of thing that's similar. A liqueur, right? That's like liquor with a Q and a U in it, I think. I think that's how you do it. I don't know. You know who does know a thing or two about liquor, or at least it seemed that way, is the fellows from Ligature Marks. And maybe that's why we had such a wonderful conversation that I'm going to play for you right here, right now. Look at this. I'm moving fast in this episode. But I feel like this interview deserves it, and I'm excited for you to hear it. So let's just fucking go. How about that? Let's play a song from Ligature Marks. Let's play Fire and Flood from Set Oceans on Fire.
Set Oceans on Fire!
By the time
Hello.
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Really good.
There's two of you, unless that guy's a mannequin.
He's a mannequin.
Ah, good. Well, there looks like it could be one back there, too. I don't know.
Have you ever heard of a real doll?
Yeah, unfortunately. That's that? Oh.
That's that.
Nice. How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I guess. I don't know. It's Monday, right? So I got usual Monday complaints. But right now it's basically allergies. I don't know if either of you suffer from allergies, but I fucking suffer. And then I mow the lawn and it gets worse. And, you know, I'm sure you'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, can relate, brother. Can relate.
So anyway, I just like to jump into it if you guys don't mind. First of all, I wasn't expecting both of you. I'm glad you're both here. I know this is not the way that I even like to do it, but can you introduce yourselves a little bit here?
Absolutely. My name is Ben Charles, and I'm the singer for a band called Ligature Marks.
My name's Kyle Baltus. I play drums in Ligature Marks.
Awesome. I knew your names, but I didn't want to say them wrong. That's my go-to for not fucking up people's names.
there you go.
Usually I butcher them, but you know that's a safe bet. So all right, so real simple and basic stuff. I want to start with both of you, and so sometimes it can get boring, but fuck it, we'll go through it anyway. And if it is, I'll cut it out. When did you two, or either of you, when did you guys find just heavy music in general? At what point did you find this type of music? Not necessarily this type, but something more extreme, something heavier, that you identify with it and got heavily involved and interested?
Sure. So for me, I was given a dubbed cassette of Metallica's Black Album, and that was probably like my first introduction to it. But the first like experience that I had was the first concert I ever went to was Pantera and White Zombie by myself. I mean, like as a young man,
right,
without the parents in tow. And that kind of cemented the I think I want to be involved with this in one way or another.
Nice. That's a good first show. Without the parents.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think I saw Willie Nelson and the Beach Boys with the parents, so.
Those are good too.
My dad always was like playing music. He was into like 80s like hair metal stuff. Like that's what I was attracted to and the stuff that he was playing, but I guess like the first heavy band I got into was like Metallica.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can't gloss over the hair metal stuff. Like that's not awesome as well. What was your favorite hair metal band?
Well, my favorite band of all time is Guns N' Roses, but like I loved a lot of the stuff that was coming out. Like I love Skid Row, and Motley Crue is huge for me. Like Tommy Lee's my favorite drummer. So, I mean, Cinderella, Rat, Dokken, Wasp, all that shit.
That's awesome. They're all good bands in my opinion. It was funny. I have some weird stories where I kind of kept happening across Quiet Riot shows for a couple years. Like I just like walk into a place. I was in by myself at a bar in Annapolis. I walk in and the guy's like, "Ah, it's $20 because there's a band playing." I'm like, "Why is it? What band is playing?" They're like, "Well, it's Quiet Riot." I'm like, "Fucking Quiet Riot, hell yeah!" I go in there and I'm by myself and there's this woman standing there with this guy and I'm kind of just standing at this bar and they're like, "I can't believe Quiet Riot's playing at this bar here." I'm like, "Well, you'll find out. I mean, you'll see why in 2015 they're playing at a tiny bar in Annapolis. Still awesome, but man, those fucking bands. I love seeing those bands still to this day."
For sure.
So those were your favorite bands as a kid. Ben, what about you? What was your favorite band?
Some of the alternative stuff, man. I got into Nirvana and Smashing Pumpkins and stuff, and then eventually got I had an affinity for hip hop and gangster rap too. So I was listening to a lot of Bone Thugs and Dr. Dre and Snoop and Wu-Tang and all of that when I was a kid.
Yeah, so that's real funny because my wife and I were just talking about this the other day. I was listening to, I forget what we had on. I don't know. Whatever was on the turntable back there. But I think like, all right, there's a Nine Inch Nails record on over there, Downward Spiral. But we had on like, we had on Nirvana or some, whatever. And we're just talking about how could music like this heavy ever be on the radio again? And like that was like how we all liked it back then. That was like pop music basically. And we're talking about what was the closest thing to pop? And we're like, well, it was like fucking Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and like Bone
Yeah.
Thugs. It was like that shit's not on the radio either. Or maybe it is. I don't know. I don't know what's on the fucking radio. But like to grow up with that type of music seems so cool. And I don't know, everything before us, it also seems cool. It's a little weird now having kids and looking at what they listen to and thinking, I don't know if that's that cool, but I'm also just a weird ass parent now, judgmental dickhead, like the ones that we grew up with, or maybe not if you were lucky. But so you guys have been into heavy music for quite a while, and obviously you've been at it with Ligature Marks for quite a few years, I take it. But this can't be the first band for either of you, I'd imagine. What was the first, when did you guys first get into actually playing music?
So I started probably when I was in high school, and it was really just there was like a kind of metal, kind of punk rock band at my school, and they were like, "Hey, can you sing?" And I was like, "I don't think so." And they were like, "Can you yell?" And I was like, "I've been told I have a loud voice, so yeah, let's give it a shot." And yeah, did that when I was in high school for a couple of years, and then a couple of years out of high school, I joined a band called Six, which later on down the road, Kyle joined that project as well. So those were kind of my first bands. I did a couple little projects in between, but
Nice. Hi.
yeah, I started playing in bands in high school, and then just kind of I played guitar first in bands, but just didn't like it, so I went back to playing drums, and then yeah, just kind of played around Portland. I ended up joining Six after high school, and then I just kept joining other bands, and then yeah, like I'm still in a couple bands besides Ligature Marks today, so I'm just always playing.
Yeah, I'm aware of what you guys are all up to too, and you're all doing some very cool stuff. But I vaguely aware of Six. What was Six like? What was that band?
pretty new metal,
Yeah, yeah.
heavy band, yeah, like heavy Slipknot, Mudvayne, Korn influence kind of project.
How do you feel about that era of music? Because I loved it, and then I shunned it, and now I'm back to like, why did I shun that? Like, I'm back to embracing it, and.
I love that. That was my shit, man, growing up.
Yeah.
Like some of my first concerts, like I said, I mean, Pantera and White Zombie, not too nu metal, but like shortly the wave that came after that, like Slipknot, seeing Slipknot when I was in high school was kind of a pivotal experience for me. But I think it got tagged with a bad name. I think it was branding, man. I think it got marketed as nu metal, and then they spelt it weird, and then I think it was just out the window after that. They fucked it up in the marketing department. That's what happened.
It's funny. I didn't. I went while listening to nu metal. I didn't know we were supposed to spell it a certain way. But this is also back then. I mean, I was born '84, so that would have made me like at most like 16 by 99 or whatever, or 15. I don't know math. And it didn't matter to me, or I didn't. I wasn't even aware of these stupid genre tags, like. I was at the same time I was listening to Biohazard for years. I was listening to Machine Head, Fear Factory. I didn't know Biohazard, Urban Discipline was considered hardcore. I didn't know Madball was a hardcore band. I didn't know whatever Machine Head was called, groove metal. That's nu metal. Whatever the fuck, all these dumb terms didn't matter. So when nu metal became a thing, I didn't even realize it was a thing. And I remember writing my 11th grade research project, which I wrote on the history of heavy metal, and I like, and this is like during the time I discovered that what I was listening to was considered nu metal, and that fucking spelling, yeah, it always stuck with me. Why are we doing this?
The horrible, right? Like we pigeonholed the whole fucking genre and just killed it.
But I guess some people embraced it, and that's what the whole whole era of music gets for braiding their goatees, There's got to be some kind of punishment for that. So that was all right. So all that history, we all get there eventually, but you guys all end up here in Ligature Marks in what year are we in? 2021. How did that happen? Where does Ligature Marks come from?
We started in 2018. And it was really like we were hanging out at a show, and I can't even remember what show we were at, but we all knew each other from obviously Kyle and I playing in bands together. And we all kind of grew up playing in the same scene. So we all knew of each other and we'd all been around. And Carl was at the same show and he was mentioning having new music and looking for a vocalist, and I jumped on it the next day. Hit him up and said, "Hey, man, like, were we serious about making this a thing? Let's give it a go." And he sent me the tunes, and him and his brother Josh had a pretty polished album kind of done, where EP done worth of music, but there was program drums on it, and the bass playing, we ended up adding another guy named Dave Keller to the project, and he kind of filled in all the spots that were missing on bass, and Kyle came in and laid down drums.
Kyle, what's it like coming in for a drum machine? I mean, what were the song? How much did you change the songs? Like, because was it? I've asked guys this before, where people have programmed shit that's just ridiculous, and then I've seen, you know, people were like, it was so easy to do. It was so easy to make better. What was it like for you?
Well, I got involved with these guys because Carl, our guitar player, actually like had me record like a one-off song for him that he had. And that's when they showed me Ligature Marks. And I think at first they asked me originally just to be in the video for our first single. And I wasn't even like in the band yet, and they had programmed drums on it and stuff. And so I was just like, well, you guys need real drums on the record, man. It would sound a lot better. Cause
you pulled me aside at Falcon. I remember that. You were like, come here. I come in the hallway and you're like, who's playing drums on this shit?
Like, it wasn't like they were bad or anything like that. You know, they sounded like songs, but you can do it well, you know, and they weren't done bad. I'm not saying that. I think that they were parts that were written by someone who wasn't a drummer.
Right.
So when I came in, like, I just played them like a drummer would, or at least how I play as a drummer. And it changed like the feel a lot. So,
I did change the whole project.
I pretty much changed the whole thing.
You took over, but that makes sense. I mean, drums to me, I talk about this. I've talked about this frequently with people, but drums to me are so complicated. First of all, I have no musical talent at all, right? I can't do anything. I picked up a guitar for 2 months and threw it away. I sang for a band for a year and that went nowhere. But drums to me have always been the most intimidating instrument. I don't know how there are as many drummers as there are, and I'm sure people say there aren't enough, right?
I still feel like there's a shortage.
Yeah, and I don't even know how there's that many of them. I don't know how you guys do what you do, so I don't know how other people, what our perception, it's interesting to me what your view of our perception of what you would be playing to songs is. Like, how far off do people get? I'm sorry, I'm wording this very strangely, but I don't know. This doesn't make any sense the way I'm saying it, does it?
I think I know what you're asking, man.
Yeah, all right. Can you answer what you think I'm asking? Because I don't know how to say it.
Like, I've heard them, like, extremely good, and then I've heard them, like, someone is just, like, putting down something just to get drums on it, and it's like, oh, you clearly are not. You have no clue. Like, there's no crash right there, or there shouldn't be a crash. There's supposed to be a snare there, you know, like, or just like they'll try and write like weird time things to be like creative, but it's like, man, that just really doesn't work at all. And then I played with other people who don't play drums, but they understand music, and it's like, who the fuck did you get to drum on this? And they're like, oh, I just built them. It's like, what?
That's awesome. So, I mean, it's great that it's an option for people, especially with the, you know, like we're joking about the shortage of drummers, but there's definitely the obvious difference of having a real drummer and not. And like you mentioned, the way you play, like any instrument, the way you play, some people have their own sound without even changing tuning. You know, people have their own sounds and they put their own mark on music, and that's obviously something you can't quite get with programmed drums. But so was that stuff that you're talking about, the Set Oceans on Fire record that came out in 2018?
Yeah.
All right, so that originally comes out 3 years ago, and now we're doing a deluxe edition. What's happening here? What happened with this?
I think taking the whole year off, basically, from releasing any music, just pretty much due to COVID. We had one track come out in there, but it put a pretty big delay in everything. And we got with a new PR team, new management team, and they thought it was smart to do another re-release, or to do a re-release deluxe edition of the record, and kind of gear back up, because it didn't get the attention that it probably could have had we laid the pathway properly to begin with, you know, like, rather than, we just wanted to put something out. We were kind of in a rush to get it out to begin with. And so we didn't give it the PR press treatment that it should have got.
I got you. Did you guys tour on it or anything? I know it was a self-release from the beginning, right? So it was just we just put out a record.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it honestly started intending to do like kind of one-off songs. Like the whole project was initially just going to be like, you know, hey, let's get a collective together and make a tune and see what happens. And then we ended up writing the EP, and it turned out pretty good. So we decided to make it a project. It was just the evolution of Ligature Marks, I guess.
Right. Well, I'm glad you're doing that, because you guys weren't on my radar until I heard until I got this PR stuff for the deluxe edition of Set Oceans on Fire. And
it's clearly working.
Yes, it is. But the reissue features two new tracks, "Noise in the Signal" and "Fell for Fiction." Were they recorded at the same time as the rest of the EP, or is this all extra stuff?
They were being written while that EP was being recorded, but they got recorded after that one had come out. And it was, that was also kind of the weird timing. Was like, man, should we wait to see if we can get these mixed and mastered in time to actually get this on the record, or are they not quite to that point, or will that just delay the record for another couple months to get those tracks on it? Noise in the Signal was later, but Fell for Fiction was kind of on the cusp of when we were writing and recording Oceans and getting that song finished.
I got you. So for the last, I don't know. So you said COVID fucks things up like it did for everybody, obviously. Was there anything like that was definitely going to happen last year, or at least that you were planning on happening last year for Ligature Marks that wasn't able to happen?
Sure. I think just staying as productive as we wanted to be, or as we had been, shooting music videos was really hard. We got one music video shot, which was a pain in the ass. I mean, just with social distancing and trying to find locations. And then our bass player ended up having to move due to COVID. So it was kind of a up and down roller coaster of a year, man. And just trying to stay productive and keep all that whole ball rolling was a task.
Yeah. Well, okay. So you're gonna have to correct me if I'm wrong, but, or if I've been misinformed, I should say, but I've been told by other people living in the Northwest that your area took COVID a lot more seriously than other areas. Like, I'm over here in Pennsylvania and in this weird area where we have half of them are like, I don't know. Well, there's fucking Amish people here, so it's a really bizarre thing. Like, it's bizarre. You know, you got Amish people, you got super conservative Christian Trump people that don't make sense to me, and then you have like whatever, just everybody else. And half the people here are like, "Fuck the mask, I'm not doing it." And I don't know. So, but I've been told by other people that I know well living out there that you guys, maybe not you specifically, but out in that area, it's just been taken more seriously and people are more cautious about it. Is that the case?
Yeah, we got locked down pretty hard, man. I see people out in my neighborhood, and I live in a pretty spread out neighborhood, and I see people walking their dogs with masks on. So, I mean, yeah, like people took it hard here, and our city shut down for a while and then reopened and then shut back down again.
Right.
So, I mean, we were doing, there was nothing indoors for, I don't even know how long that went. Couple months, like nothing, like you couldn't go to a restaurant, everything was to go. Obviously there's no bars or social anything.
Yeah. Did that affect your music scene at all? And by that I mean, like, our big venue here in Lancaster was the Chameleon Club for 30 years or something. That's shut down now, that's gone. Like, did you guys have any effects like that?
I don't know if anything's like actually shut down for good, but there's been a lot of support within like the music community in Portland that has like to save the stages here. Cause I mean, there's really not a lot of venues in Portland. So, I mean, there's tons of like bars and stuff like that, but like actual venues, right. There's not a lot, but I haven't heard of any like shutting down yet.
Portland has a habit of kind of flipping music venues anyway, man. It seems like we get a good one for a couple of years and then it just dies or kind of falls by the wayside. We've had a couple that have been staples for a really long time, and they seem like they've weathered the storm pretty good, and they used the time to be productive. Like, I know the Roseland, which is kind of like our bigger venue without getting into like a, you know, it's a 1500 cap room.
Right.
But they did, I mean, new paint job, new sound, they recarpeted the stage, they redid all the green room. So I know that they used the downtime to do a full revamp of the club. Which was amazing.
Yeah. That is, my two of my hometowns are here and, in Baltimore for a while. And luckily the places that I loved in Baltimore are still floating. But you know, through a variety of different, fundraisers. But again, then there's stuff like here where there was a big heart of the music community here, and it's gone. And it's a weird thing to take to know, going back to when I was a kid. You know how you talk about going to these shows, our first shows, going to places like this, and they're just gone now, just in a couple months. But anyway, enough of that nonsense, sad shit.
Here's your ultra depressing episode.
Yeah. Oh no, don't worry. I just sometimes get on and cry, and then just, you know, put that out. But it's all right. People like it. They call it art. So this EP, you're re-releasing it. It says exclusively available on Bandcamp. Is this just a digital only thing?
Yep. We're just doing the re-releases. Like, the whole package is one thing exclusive on Bandcamp.
Cool. Was there ever?
It's really, really cool.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
Oh, Bandcamp treats artists really, really cool. Like, they're a good company, man. They're a good platform.
Are they? Cause I heard they're only nice on Fridays once a month.
Well, that's one more day than most of the other platforms are.
I can't argue that. You're absolutely right. so was there ever any physical release for Set Oceans on Fire?
Yeah. We did a CD release for the initial pressing of it. Yeah.
Cool. So you, again, this came out in 2018. A lot of people have heard it, but I'd imagine, like myself, a lot more people are hearing it now. I know it's not officially out, though. June 11th is the date, but all the songs are out there. So,
right.
So you got all the songs out there. It's just not under the same album.
There's videos out there for
everyone. Yeah, videos for everyone. Yeah, so it's pretty out there. So what has been the feedback so far on at least these two new tracks that... What were they? It's Noise and the Signal and Fell for Fiction. How's the reaction been so far for those songs specifically?
Sure. Noise has been great, man. I mean, especially with all the different press outlets that picked it up. So it definitely got some eyes on us, and a lot more eyes on us than before, right? Like, giving it that proper press treatment.
Yeah.
Fell for Fiction did great when we first dropped it, and people kind of loved that new direction that we were going to, like a little more of the hooks, a little more melody than we had done with some of the earlier stuff.
Yeah, no, and that's one thing I particularly enjoyed about that track. It does stand out a little bit from the rest because it's just kind of going for it more, you know. There's a lot of different things about your sound that I appreciate, and it incorporates a lot of different things about heavy music that I like. I mean, there's stuff that's just straight up heavy, you know. There's stuff that I can see someone call metalcore, whatever. There's stuff that just sounds like... What was the fucking term we were using when Killswitch Engage and Shadows Fall and all that? We were just calling it like American metal? What kind of weird shit were we saying back then? I don't know.
Was that what they were calling post-hardcore?
No. Post-hardcore was like at the drive-in or, you know, afros and tight pants.
I don't know, man. Again, with the labels, I always thought that was super weird. Like, I thought it was just like... You could find so many different elements in bands, and then they just got pigeonholed into like one.
Yeah, but I think that's the goal. That was the goal for a lot of bands, is to be, we want to be a metalcore band because we want to, you know, ride along in this sea. We want to be a new metal band because, you know, whatever. We want to be a hardcore band because we don't want to write intelligent stuff. I love hardcore, so that's not me totally shitting on them. But anyway, you guys mentioned on... that you shot videos for every track on this record, which I noticed right away before I read it. I was like, fuck, how does this band have six songs, six videos? And you might have seven. I don't know. But
seven now, yeah. Yeah.
But so was that the plan when this all started? Or is this just because it's been out for 3 years that you've been able to shoot all these videos?
We started releasing, we try to release every song as a single. I mean, just to put it out there, because that seems to be the attention span of the world right now, is nobody necessarily bites onto a full album right away, right? Like, and if we can get one song done and released and then shoot a video for it immediately after while we're working on the next song, it just kind of sets us up for releasing content. So these, all of the videos, our guitar player Carl is a music video director, and so that's why we can get these videos cranked out as quick as we can, is we have a guy in the band that's what he does.
That's fucking pretty convenient, isn't it?
Super convenient.
that was going to be one of my questions. How are you able to produce, you know, this many quality videos? Some better than others, but all at least visually up to par. You know, at least the quality's there. The one that, well, I could ask you about all of them, but one specific moment, and one of them I need to ask you about because I want you to sell me on something, is Severing the Dissonance. You're drinking Screwball whiskey in there, correct?
Yep.
All right, I've never had it, but it's peanut butter whiskey, right? Is that correct?
Yep.
All right, I like peanut butter beers. I enjoy them. Never had the whiskey. Sell me on it. What's this?
It's fucking fantastic, man. It sounds like it would be awful. I got turned onto it when I was in San Diego visiting a friend of mine, and he was like, "You got to try this peanut butter whiskey. It's the best thing ever." And he's like, "We'll put some Chambord in it, chill it, and then we're taking shots, peanut butter and jelly shots. Chambord's a raspberry liqueur." And he was like, "You got to try this." And I was blown away. And then I've tried probably three or four other peanut butter whiskeys. Awful.
Yeah, awful. Yeah. All right, so it's got to be. It's got to be.
What's up, man?
It's got to be. So, see, I don't know. It might be that. Might be that San Diego influence, because I feel like I've never been there, but I just told it's so beautiful that everything in San Diego seems like it might be cool.
It could be it, right? Set and setting. Like maybe I was just having a good time when I drank it, so now I associate it with.
Yeah, exactly. No, but all right. That's a good enough reason for me to buy a bottle. So
of all the questions you were going to ask about a video, I was like, I really wonder what he's going to ask.
Yeah, no, that's not what I was expecting. Well, that's, you know, yeah, just laser in on the shit that interests, you know.
There you go.
But the one video that I did find particularly well done was the Noise in the Signal one. And you guys, what's supposed to be happening in this thing?
It was just we got the location, and the location kind of determined what the video was going to be. We thought we were going to end up doing something completely different. Originally, we had written an entirely different script for the video, and we got there and we're like, you know, this place definitely has like a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest kind of vibe. It was an old school that was out in the Columbia River Gorge, which is like the windsurfing capital of America.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's this old historic school. Well, you know, and we saw the location and it kind of inspired the idea. And so, That's how we ended up getting in there.
That's cool. Do you guys, you said, you know, you like writing a script. Do you guys actually sit around together and do this? I mean, you got the guy in your band who does this, so I guess that's a cheat code.
Yeah, the Noise in the Signal video, we had a few writing sessions on. Our friend Freddie Heath is pretty involved with most of the videos that we do. He works with Carl a lot. He is definitely all about screenplays and storyboarding, and he's got a background in film, and he also directed music videos before he got involved with Carl. So, yeah, we team up a lot, man. And the whole band kind of sits around and discusses the concepts a lot of the time.
Have you had any, like, really impassioned arguments about what you want the music video to be and lost?
Every fucking time.
Every one of them. Every time the conversation starts, it typically starts with either me or Carl shooting down, just shitting on Ben's ideas. Like, he'll have this awesome idea.
Pretty common occurrence.
But he doesn't, like, he just doesn't get it out the way it is in his head, and we'll be like, bro, that sucks. Yeah. And then it's like, well, dude, no. And then it's really funny. Him and Carl can go at it too sometimes. It's entertaining. Me and Josh just sit back and watch and giggle.
I start working before I finish the thought, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I'm already...
Yeah. Well, I feel like I would be the no guy. That's my role in my family a lot. I just say no to everything. Is like, and then it's like, well, what should we do? Like, I didn't get that far. I just know we shouldn't do that. And you know,
see, that's why they're always mad at me, because they're like, well, come up with something better. I'm like, I don't have any ideas. I just don't like that one.
Right. If somebody walks in the room and goes 6 + 3 = 14, you can go, no, it's not. And they're like, well, what is it? Like, I didn't do the math yet, but I know it's not that. Like, it's real simple, right?
Carl literally told somebody, I think it might have been Carl has a twin brother. Kyle has a twin brother too. We can talk about that in a minute. But Carl, I think, literally told his twin brother. His brother was like, wow, this video turned out really fucking good. What happened? And Carl goes, I literally just didn't tell Ben no on this. The moral of the story is, gentlemen, listen to Ben.
I just stopped saying no because I don't do any of the work.
Just going to show up anyway.
I can't have an opinion if I'm just not doing shit.
Well, that's fair. I mean, you're it's wise, I guess. You're doing the right thing. You're doing the right thing.
He's picking his battles wisely.
Yeah. So you have these seven videos, and I don't want to like focus totally on the videos, but what's your favorites out of these?
Noise is definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Fire and Flood is always kind of the standout video to me because it was the first video that we shot. It was kind of it was the video that formed the band. Literally the first time we played as a group was on that video. That was the first time we all had instruments in hand together as a band, was on that video shoot. So those are kind of my standouts. Both filmed in the same town too, Mosier, Oregon. In the Columbia River Gorge, windsurfing capital.
I was going to say, what are they famous for? But I should have known.
Yeah, fucking windsurfing, yeah. Bud.
Cherries. Too. Well, they got to pick one. You can't be both.
So we'll say, all right, Hood River, which is the next town down. We'll say that's the windsurfing capital. Mosier would be Cherries.
Hood River sounds like it doesn't sound like what it sounds like. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
No. Hood River sounds like a drainage ditch in a Baltimore alley. And that,
I think I'm going to pitch that as their next town slogan.
They'll go for it. You just got to say it with confidence. That's all it's all about. You just, you know, just do a little bit of that political speak where you speed things up sometimes and then you slow it down. And eventually people will bite, you know? That's pretty foolproof. All right. So it talked about the Ligature Mark sound a little bit. And I think it ranges all under the same umbrella, but I like where it's at. It goes through a few different subgenres of, I don't know, extreme music, heavy metal, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Where do you feel the band best fits in if you're looking for, I don't know, a show? Like if you're gonna get put on the middle of the bill on a metalcore show, is that a good spot for Ligature Mark? Or, you know, or where do you think it's best?
If it's like neutral metalcore, if it's at one extreme or the other, then I'm not necessarily sure that we're the best fit for that. But yeah,
I think that like it's kind of a weird thing because like I'm just thinking about like we've been in the studio a lot and we've got a bunch of new music that'll be coming out probably this year sometime. I would imagine at least something new. But it's like for me, it's hard for me to answer that question because like people haven't heard like what Ligature Mark's real sound is, I don't think, because we were like kind of looking for it. And I think we finally found it with this stuff that we've been working on.
Sure.
So I might be changing the subject completely right now on accident. But
no, go with
like,
it.
The EP, Josh and Carl had that entire record written.
Right.
And Ben just wrote lyrics and sang on it, and then I changed the drums. But, like, we didn't have input on, like, the musical part of it. So Fell for Fiction and Noise, we had a little bit more. And so that's why those sound a little bit different than, like, the five songs on the EP. Mm-hmm. And then the newer stuff we've been working on, like, we all had equal parts in writing it. So it sounds even further from the EP. So it's, like, with the new stuff that people haven't heard, I think we could fit with a lot more bands than the EP's sound.
No, it's
like overall. Yeah, like I think it would blend in more along the spectrum than the sound of the EP alone.
I'm also a huge fan of like I like really diverse shows. Like I like lineups that like don't necessarily make sense, right? Like one of my favorite shows that I ever went to was fucking Tori Amos and Nine Inch Nails. I saw Bowie and Nine Inch Nails together. Yeah. Like that to me that's like the perfect bill, right? Like they're not the fucking same at all.
Right.
But it works somehow. Like you find this like this awesome, awesome blending of multiple styles of music. Like I love hip hop. So like seeing a hip hop band open for a metal band, I think is fantastic. Like Family Values Tour back in the day. That's what's up.
Yeah. But how did Rammstein get away with all that stuff?
What do you mean?
I don't know. I just say things sometimes. Yeah, you know,
it's talking about the insurance policy. Those dudes have to take out before they play a gig.
I'm just thinking like that. The video scar that Family Values Tour video scarred me a little bit as a young guy, you know, like it was just a little. Do you remember it? Do you remember what happens
in the video?
Yeah,
I don't remember. I don't know if I even saw the video. I saw the tour when it went through Portland.
Okay, well, in the video for the tour, Rammstein, the guy goes up there and he like rapes the keyboard player and then sprays.
Oh yeah,
fake,
yeah, typical Rammstein.
So like for 14 year old, that's, you know, a little troubling. But I was listening to Rammstein just yesterday. I found a sampler CD recently that was the 2001 Pledge of Allegiance tour, where it's like Slipknot, System of a Down, but it's got like everything. I found it because it had DMX on it. I was like, DMX died. What do I have of DMX? I got this one sampler CD from 2001 that also has Slayer on it. So I was listening to that, and Rammstein came on, and I was like, man. I don't remember much. I mean, like, I know they were huge, and they still are huge, but I don't know. It's just, how did this band get away with it? You know? That's all I'm asking. It's just a really vague, like, how did they do it?
You know, if there's kids' parents out there who aren't willing to have the talk with them, then I think Uncle Rammstein is going to fill that void.
Yeah. Which is cool. It's fine. I don't think that goes over well now, but, you know, it was whatever. That's, yeah. But, no, I mean, all joking aside, I really just mean, like, and this is not really a question for you. It's more of a rhetorical thing. How was a German-speaking industrial metal band able to be globally, you know, massive, you know, making that type of music? It's just funny that that worked.
That's crazy, man. I think Rammstein was always a bigger band than I realized until I finally, like, I saw some videos of them, and I'm like, this band is fucking massive.
They're massive.
Like,
they're huge.
Massive.
Yeah, yeah.
I think CKY helped him out a lot, too. Like being in that video, because CKY2K, that video, Bam Margera, his crew video, dude, like that was huge.
Oh yeah,
that was huge. And then Jackass came out, but like I never heard Rammstein until like all that CKY shit. So I know tons of kids found it through that.
Well, it was wild because the first time I saw Rammstein was in an arena. Like they were like one of those bands that like I never even heard of them, and then they were playing arenas.
Can you imagine Rammstein in a club?
Oof. This, yeah.
Going back to that insurance policy.
No, it's funny you bring up the CKY thing because that's relatively local. My sister and both my sister-in-law live in Westchester area where they filmed all that, where they did all that stuff. So that was a big band. You know the other one that they broke? I don't know how we're getting this far off topic, but that band Him, now they shouldn't have been that big, but they were. But you know that was the CKY effect.
Another band that Bam and that CKY videos, man. Like Bam was like a marketing.
They were the influencers, dude. They were the OG influencers before influencers were a thing.
That's true, and everybody, you know, got that CKY riff in their head forever.
And going back to Him, it was marketing. That fucking logo, man, was rad.
Yeah. Well, they did their own thing, and that's what worked very well. And usually you find that with a lot of people. And I don't know, all it takes is to get a little fucking eyes on it, and that's what's happening here with you guys. I think a lot of people are going to get their eyes on what you're doing, and that's what's very cool about the way you're re-releasing these songs that are already out. But you know, I appreciate it.
Very very rarely do you have a chance to like learn the lessons and then apply the lessons again immediately, and I think that's what we're doing in this case.
It's a good move, man. Who's gonna tell you no? Right. Okay, so...
Well, that's actually like we're trying it out once, and if it works, we're just gonna keep releasing it and adding new songs to set up
just one song. Yeah,
yeah.
So like in 5 years it'll be like 18 songs long.
That's like maybe a double album.
It'll be like the 4-3 release.
Yeah. You can do it. People don't notice anymore. Like you said, nobody listens to full albums. That's not true. I do. In fact, I try to only listen to full albums. I get kind of annoyed when I can't. But I know that's the way it's done now. Is they want singles and people want playlists. I make a playlist for the podcast, but you know, whatever.
Isn't that weird? The way that people ingest music these days. Like it's strange, man. Like I've been digging playlists lately too. Like. Same thing. Like I'll walk in and put something on. If I'm cooking dinner, I'll just put on a playlist of something.
I find, you know, it's an easy way. It's a good way to discover new things. But then, I don't know. It just makes me want to listen to the album, which I guess that's the whole point. So fuck it. It works. Whatever. I give up.
Playlists have helped us out immensely. So I can't if that's what gets people to hear us, then I'm for a playlist.
Well, you bringing up playlists, I thought I saw you guys on a playlist that made me scratch my head a little bit, where it looked like you guys were on some like Christian rock playlist on Spotify.
Because we're fucking infiltrating the system, that's why.
Wow, that's very impressive.
No, I don't know. I haven't even seen that. A Christian rock playlist? Talisman, yeah.
Oh, there
that's
you go.
That's the one that got us on there. What? Really? This is not something that I'm aware of.
Maybe I saw it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was something I came across. Yeah, but.
Huh. All right, I'm gonna look for that.
Yeah. Don't look too hard. Just leave it there. That's a good market to tap into.
I hope we're totally. I hope we're right below Amy Grant and right above what was the other Christian rock band that was big right around that
POD.
Time? POD? No, there was another one that was like PID, which was Preachers in Disguise.
No, there wasn't.
Swear. That's swear, bro.
That's the worst lie I heard today. All right, guys. So
this is accurate. You're going to Google this when you're going to get off here, and you're going to be like, God damn it, he was right.
You don't know how hard I resist the truth. I won't touch Google for shit. I'll just go to bed. It never happened. And then nobody will ever be able to prove me wrong. You know, that's the way it is.
I like your style,
yeah.
Man.
Just commit, you know? All right. So, so you guys got this coming out June 11th. It'll be on Bandcamp. All the videos are already out there. You're working on new songs. What can you do until then? What are you planning to do until then? When can we expect more? What's the future for Ligature Marks?
New music video in the works for sure. We just started pre-production on another music video. This one's going to be very sci-fi, which is something that we haven't really got to mess with yet. And we've got, I would say we're 70% done on the next record.
Nice.
Or yeah. Thereabouts. Yeah, I mean, with the exception of mixing and mastering, but as far as recording wise, we got to redo some bass, and we got vocals left on two songs, and then that'll be ready to come out soon.
Very cool. Is this going to be a self-release thing as well, or are you guys actually looking for somebody to do it, or why not do it by yourself?
That's a good question and a conversation that we've been having a lot lately. So we're going to have to see what happens with that.
Nice.
Which path makes the most sense, right? Like, Some things don't make a lot of sense financially to have somebody release it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
there is an online event that we will be a part of that we can't release details yet, but we'll be out. We'll let you guys know within like the next month.
Awesome.
So
it'll be sooner than that.
Oh,
next week. Couple weeks. Yeah, we got a pretty cool online event that's happening.
Actually, it's gonna be tomorrow.
It is?
No, I was just trying to one up you guys because you know you did it to him.
Shit,
so I was,
need to rehearse.
Yeah, just trying to get in there, trying to win. Since you got me that whole Google thing, all right. Well, guys, I think that's about all I have for you. Thank you for taking the time to do this. I appreciate it. It was a good time. I'm glad I just found out about you. So I'm glad that what you're doing now is working, and hopefully. We can do more to get more eyes on you. Ears.
Oh, man,
I guess
really appreciate
ears.
That. Yeah. Ears and eyes, both.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, man. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, fellas. Have a good night.
Take care, bud.
All right, later.
Awesome. Thank you so much, man.
Yep, see ya. So there you have it. That was my interview with the fellas in Ligature Marks. I enjoyed my chat with them, and I enjoyed their record as well. The song you just heard was Noise in the Signal featuring Ian Fike of It Prevails. That's also the video we talked about, the one that I thought was especially well done. You should go check that out. You can pre-order, do a digital pre-order, I think it is, for this record, Set Oceans on Fire, the deluxe edition on Bandcamp. I'll put that link in the show notes. I guarantee you it's worth it. The rest of the music's out there. You can find it somewhere, but you should do it that way instead. Support the artists who are making this shit happen and be on the lookout for whatever Ligature Marks has next. Okay, well, we might as well wrap this one up. I don't think I have a lot of business stuff to talk to you about. Always go follow at @getting_it_out_podcast on Instagram. There's a Facebook page, facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast. And there's a Patreon. That's the important one. There's a Patreon, patreon.com/gettingitoutpodcast. There's a $1, $2, $3 tier. I'm actually thinking of condensing that all down to one $2 tier, which would actually lose me some money. But, you know, I think it's just easier to include all things under one tier instead of all these options and do it for a little bit cheaper. I don't know. What do you think? Are you involved in it? Are you chipping in right now? If you're not, that's cool. But would you be more enticed if all the rewards were under one tier instead of spread across three? Is it mean that everybody doesn't get everything? Am I being unfair, or am I being a socialist by including everybody under one? Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the goal. Maybe I need to have a socialist Patreon, and I think I might do that. So if you're already a Patreon subscriber, you might be saving a buck, or you might get notched up a buck. I don't know, but I don't think I can do that without your permission, so be on the lookout for that. If you are interested in contributing and helping out via the Patreon, I totally appreciate it. You can do so, like I said, by going to patreon.com/gettingitoutpodcast. It gets you free entry into every giveaway that is done. It gets you access to Getting It Out Radio as they happen, and lets you check in on the upcoming lists of guests for the episodes. What else is on there? It gets you a free sticker and pin. I will mail that to you right away. It gets you the archives. Yes, you can listen to every episode in Getting It Out podcast history. That's what's on the Patreon page. Anyway, enough of me rambling. There is a gettingitout.net website that eventually is coming. I was so confident in the last few episodes about it being just around the corner, but it doesn't seem like it is. So whatever. It's fucking crazy. I'm going to end this one with a track from Seeker. Seeker considers himself new metalcore, which that caught my attention. I'm like, all right, you're gonna lean in that hard? I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna check it out. They got this new track. It's called CIHA. It's the title track from a recently released EP. It stands for Call It a Hatred, which is not really the way I think the English language works, but they are from the UK, so they know better than I do. Anyway, check out this song CIHA from Seeker. And thank you for listening to the podcast. Bye-bye. Yeah, to be honest,